This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And boy, we've had a week here between tornadoes and... One of the hosts on the show had essentially the effects of a tornado rip through his house, except it didn't have a tornado. So we'll talk about Beam's week from hell in a moment. First week of MLS in the books. We'll talk a little bit about that. The crew obviously got on the board with three big points, which is what you want to see at home. So we'll get on to all that. Some announcements about soccer coming to the capital city of Ohio. Some big matches coming, one involving the crew. One involving two more teams from England. There's three teams from England coming to Columbus in the summer months. So we're excited about that. And also Taylor Swift, who I thought
you would enjoy this story.
I have a love-hate relationship with Taylor Swift in the fact that I love everything she stands for. I enjoy a lot of her music. I also, at times with my children, I'm like, we have to find something else to talk about because this is all the conversation all the time in our house.
Nah, and man, so you're just in it.
They're in that age where they are obsessed.
It's incepting it into the podcast too. Now you get to talk about it at work.
I wonder, like, honest to God, like when the Beatles were big,
yeah.
Right? The Beatles, I mean, when? Like they're now, no one knows who they are. No, but like when they
Paul
came.
Paul McCartney guy's got a real future.
But when they came over and it was Beatles mania, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to presume all those parents. Those were like people who fought in World War II, right? And then their yes. kids were like my kids. My older two were 13 and 10.
Yeah.
Their kids, some of them would have been my kids' age when the Beatles mania started hitting.
Because it was late 60s, early 60s.
Right. And I'm sure that they were probably like, this music is good. However, it is really effing annoying that this is all I hear about at the house. So I'm obviously then the baby boomers, they took off with the Beatles and loved them and all that. But I wonder how the parents felt is what I'm saying about the Beatles. Like, did they like people who are my grandparents' age? Were they just like, oh, this stupid music, Jace? Like,
well,
I don't
course,
know.
Of course they were, because it was such different music too.
Yeah, of course. But now, like, you
it's
never
like pop's been around for a while. Taylor Swift, sure, is great.
I'm not trying to. It sounds
poppy.
Don't get mad. I'm not trying to say she's as groundbreaking as the Beatles or anything. I'm saying the woman is selling out.
Oh,
like 100,000 seat venues. In 2 seconds,
multiple days in a row.
Yeah. Like that. This is a phenomenon as far as a touring thing that we rarely see. So I'm just saying,
anyway. I've never seen it like it in my life.
No, not mine. Yeah. I mean, I presume it's like the only thing that's comparable to it was when the Beatles were like storming the country when they were coming through America for the first time. And people were like, oh, my gosh, can you believe they're here? That's the only thing I can think of. But I don't know. Anyway, so we'll talk about how Taylor Swift has affected every aspect of life, including soccer.
Yeah.
Coming up a little bit later. But Beam, did Taylor Swift rip your ceiling down? What happened?
First of all, I just want to say you sound way better than last week. So,
dude, I feel way better than last week. Last week was a bleep show of bleep shows. I did not feel good. It was that was one of those weeks in radio where you just have to get through it.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, three hours.
I took a day off.
Yeah, I
like Tuesday, I was like, I can't go. And then Wednesday, Thursday kind of got back to it a little bit, but yeah, I was out of sorts till probably late Friday. I finally really turned the corner.
So when we had recorded on Wednesday, I'll just give you a scope into our past 7 days because we're doing a podcast today on Thursday, which we're supposed to do it.
We're trying to start doing on Wednesdays because some schedule stuff's changed.
It's extenuating circumstances.
But we're back on our normal day for today.
So Meredith last week, after we had recorded the podcast, went to the Minute Clinic, tested positive for strep. So
yeah.
She had strep throat,
ugh.
Which is no good. She got on some antibiotics. Like, she felt better, like, immediately after, like, taking the penicillin. Like, boom. Like, all of a sudden, it was pretty remarkable, the turnaround. So, like,
that was I'm going to say that Jonas Salk? Was that the guy?
I think you're right.
I think that's the guy.
Good job. I could be wrong.
Anyway, way to go, dude.
Or out of some mold.
Yeah. Was scraping around some mold and was like, you know what?
This might have some healing properties.
My throat is scratchy. This may work. I don't know. Let's see.
So, she had that. So we get through last weekend and, like, you know, I'm watching the kid and I don't feel great. Like, I didn't have strep, but I had some sort of, like, sinus infection that had been lasting for a while. So we get through that, get to the weekend. Everything is all good. Our babysitter, who, you know, usually comes from the time that Meredith leaves for work until the time that I get home, She was texting us over the weekend. She's like, hey, I got body chills and everything. I'm going to go to the doctor. Like, boom, she tests positive for COVID. So I'm like, all right, well, you're probably going to be out until at least Tuesday, you know? So I took Monday and Tuesday off this week to watch the child because Meredith had missed so many days last week. So I was already off on Monday and Tuesday watching old Willie Boy, which is good. And he turns one next week. So we're very excited about that. And Tuesday night comes around. I'm like, all right, this is cool, Mayor. We're good. Wednesday, we're set. Like, what are we going to do? Do you want to take a half day? You know, but we have a situation where I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to come back to work yesterday.
Right.
And so there had, you know, during the time, like, I'm not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And usually when I do, I take a nap during the middle of the day when William naps. I'm like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, you know, I'm going to work. There had been like a crack that appeared in our ceiling a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, I'm going to, you know, I got some mud from like our local Ace Hardware store. And I'm like,
that's a real handyman term. I got some mud.
Yeah.
Not spackle.
Yeah.
Cause it spackles like what the commoners use it, but yes. Like guys who never use it, but you're like, oh yeah, I'll sling some mud up there.
Yeah. Right.
I'll fix it. No problem.
I was feeling very alpha.
Yeah.
I was doing this. I'm like up in the living room and, you know, I'm like putting the spackle on the ceiling and trying to, fix over these cracks. Like, you know, they had gotten bigger like over the past week. I'm like, huh, that's also
disconcerting.
Yeah. I'm like, that's interesting. Let's see what happens here. So by the time that I get done with that, that's around like 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon. I had put like an initial like layer over it. I'm waiting for it to dry. And I was going to go back over it again. Meredith gets home around 4 and we're feeding William a snack right after, you know, she gets home. So about a half hour after that, I'm like sitting in the front room. They're playing. I'm trying to work on my prep sheet for the next day, like figuring out topics and everything.
Yeah, because people don't know with radio show, like your workday never kind of ends.
Yeah,
like it's not just, like it's hard work, but it's just you're always thinking about the show. So even you at 7, 8 o'clock at night, you're like, you got to watch some games. You got to check out some sports stories. You're like getting stuff for the next morning.
What's interesting and put them on the sheet and like do the teases and everything. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there. And it's like 4:30 ish maybe in the afternoon, and I literally hear. And I like look up, I'm like, where did that sound come from? And so it was my ceiling and it had dropped like 2 inches.
Oh no.
Like at the point,
crack had opened up to a point that
had now opened up where I'm like, boy, that's not a great situation at all.
Yeah.
So I'm like looking at Meredith. I'm like, I don't know what we want to do about this. I got a number from a guy. I'm like, okay, maybe he can come out and look at it. By the time that 6 o'clock rolls around, like we're eating dinner and everything, I mean, this thing had dropped another 2 inches. So now you can see like there's a piece of plasterboard that's like hanging down in the middle of our ceiling. So I'm looking at that. I'm like, this isn't good. And I'm updating the guy who's going to come and work on it a little bit later in the week. He goes, yeah, that thing's coming down. Like, get your valuables out of that room. So Meredith and I are in scramble mode. Like, we're getting the furniture in positions away from everything. Like, we're taking the tables and the lights and kind of everything out of the living room in our front room. And it popped in my mind. I'm like, oh, the dog and the baby. I'm like, we need to get them out of here. Like, I don't want the dog to be running in there. I don't want the baby to be running in there. I don't want us to be carrying him and, like, something to happen. So, like, we're scrambling the jets now. It's like we're in total scramble mode. I mean, Meredith packed her bags. I packed William's bag and Theo's bag. And they were out of the house in, like, 20 minutes. From our decision to leave the house, you go somewhere else for the night. Like, I'll stay here and watch this. So that happens. They leave the house. No more than 10 minutes after they had left the house to go back down to Dayton to her mom's house. Boom, ceiling's down.
Jeez.
Like, and I showed you the pictures yesterday.
It's remarkable. It, like, thank God no one was hurt, but it's just like, I mean, it's plaster, right?
Oh, it's heavy. Yeah. I mean, there's like 200-300 pounds of like plaster. And that's just like a portion of our ceiling that is in my trash can.
Right. Like, it's just gone. And now you've got to get a man or a woman or someone who knows how to do this stuff to come over, and you have to get someone on the job to like fix that. Cause that's also, it's like, what if you put anything back up there?
Yeah.
Then what prevents it from coming down again?
Well, right. Like, that's the thing. Like, happen? I'm like, is it wet? And nothing looked wet. Nothing.
There's
like,
no,
the plaster,
you don't see
didn't
any water damage.
No.
You don't see any. Okay.
And like the plaster didn't feel wet. Like, you would think that there would be like water spots or something on it. And
I mean, I guess if there was like a previous leak that had like leaked and dried and leaked and dried and leaked and dried a bunch of times, it might have caused some expansion. But still, at that point, you'd see like, you would have seen spots or something, you think.
Yeah. And like I said, maybe Like the guy's coming today. Ugh. And maybe he gets up there and looks, he's like, hey man, like you need a new roof and a new, like,
oh gosh.
So I don't know. So our week has been a little bit stressful.
Yeah. And it's the not knowing, but after you get through the, like, no one died because the ceiling collapsed.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, now I got to figure out what the hell's going on with this house.
Yeah.
And you live there. That's supposed to be your place of refuge. And when it's the worst feeling when, like, if you're renting, it's bad. But you're also like,
I'm not on the hook for this.
I have to call someone, and they've got, the only part of that you have to do is like call someone and stay on your landlord or your property owner, whoever does that. That's still annoying. When you're in charge, it's like, one, I can't sleep because I'm not sure if the house is fixed or working or broken or what's happening. Two, I don't know how much it's going to cost. Ugh, homeowner's insurance. Just got to have it.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why
Mary
they make
called,
you
Mary
get it.
Mary called the insurance, and she was like, oh, well, because it was the same day as the tornado, right? I mean, when she's calling it, and I'm like, they're busy.
They're so like, yeah, we got it. You're like, no, this is different. Yeah. I'm not in the – that's not what this is from.
If you want to lump me in there, that's fine. But, yeah, it's been a crazy week.
I will tell you, this is just something, again, and then we'll get on with the actual show. I have two things to tell you about this. One is a correction to something I said earlier, and then one is this with the insurance. When you're a homeowner, when we were a new homeowner, we had a flood in our basement.
Yeah.
And we just thought, well, you had a flood in your basement. You call the insurance company. You start a claim. You blah, 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 right? We then found out that, like, because we had a situation where our basement flooded and we had people come out to fix it. And it was only going to be like, I say only, like a couple grand. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that was a claim on our insurance. Then a few years later, we had like a roof thing happen and it was another claim on our insurance. And I found out later, insurance companies could care less. Like they would rather, this is so weird. I was told this by someone who works in the industry that they would rather have a homeowner's claim where you're like, I only had one claim in 20 years, but it was my house burned to the ground and I got an entire check for a new house.
Yeah.
They'd rather do one of those. That, like, you'll be fine to keep getting insurance. But if you have like a $5,000 claim and a $2,000 claim and a $10,000 claim in the span of like I think it was like 6 or 7 years, that can send a flag up of like, oh, they're too many. They have too many things at once. Insurance, no good. Don't insure these people. We had a situation happen where we had a third thing happen and it was a big thing. And so was our roof. But that first one, because we were young and we were like, well, we got homeowners insurance. It's $2,000. Instead of just putting it on a credit card or paying for it, we just put it on the insurance because we thought that's what you do. No. Apparently that they flagged us in their system. And we were lucky that when we went to buy our house, they dropped us weeks before we were closing.
Jeez.
Because they said you had a third claim. Now you're uninsurable. And we had to go around town and eventually found someone. And I'll tell you who saved our bacon was Craig Krenzel.
Yeah.
Krenzel Arthur Lett, his insurance company. We called him. And of course, I know Craig, but he was like, and he's the one who was telling me all this. He's like, you got to be careful with this because sometimes they will not insure you after like so many claims. So now, like, thankfully, knock on wood, we haven't had anything like that happen. But it's like, if I can afford to fix it, I'm not calling insurance because
if you do need it,
yeah,
that's
like
if
like the roof caves in, that's, you know,
so like if our ceiling 50,000, collapses,
well, that's a good reason. Yeah. But if they're like, hey, this might only cost you like $1,500 to fix, you got to weigh that. Cause then the next day, if you get like lightning strike, that's two, and, you know, and it's like, wait, like
actually knowledge for me. Cause I didn't
know
that. This is great.
Please, I'm not an insurance agent. Talk to your insurance agent about insurance. Make sure I'm not steering you wrong.
I am not like, financially responsible for you.
But I will tell you, like, because it's the same thing. I found out I wrecked my Achilles. Not, like, bad. I sprained my Achilles. But it was, like, it needed some rehab. So I called the medical insurance people. And they're like, yeah, good news. You get, I forget what it was, like 20 or 15 rounds of, like, rehab.
That
like,
we pay
where you
for.
Can go to, like, the physical therapy and get that done. And I was like, okay. They're like, yeah, and you only get that's the amount you get for the entire year. And this was in like March of last year, two years ago. And I said, so, all right, well, they say I need like 10 sessions. They're like, yes, you'll have like 5 left or whatever it is. And I said, okay, well, what happens if I like blow out my ACL? They're like, still 5.
It doesn't matter what body.
No, it doesn't matter if you then are like, oh, my shoulder exploded. Yeah. And I got to get shoulder surgery.
Five.
And they want me to do 20, 30 rounds. Nope. So
5 is 5.
Yeah, because you used 10 on the Achilles, and I took my chances. Turned out I didn't blow anything out the rest of the year, so we were good. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is stupid. Like, why do we have insurance if that's how it works? So I know why we have it, because you want it, but it's like, I thought as long as you needed it, you
want
it
because you never want to use it.
You don't want to have to. I don't want to have a blown out ACL or a bad Achilles or a ceiling collapsing or whatever else is happening. But you call these people and you're like, we pay the money, right? So we get the insurance.
Yeah.
And they're like, about that. Maybe. Well, how many times have you asked?
Yeah, it depends.
It's not your fault if stuff keeps happening to you, right?
That sucks. I guess not. That's on you.
Yeah. So just a word of warning. The other thing I'll say is, because some people have probably been screaming this, Jonas Salk polio vaccine.
Okay.
I think it was Fleming was the guy, the Scottish chemist. Julian Fleming. Yep, that's right. Neighbor Eric totally gets the reference. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Julian Fleming, him too. Who was the guy who actually did this? It was a Scottish chemist. Where'd it go? Of course, I can't find it now. Oh, Alexander Fleming.
Alex Fleming.
1920-something.
Mayor's guy.
Yeah. So let him live. 1928. And then he one of the things they first used it on was streptococcal meningitis.
There you go.
There you go. All right. So we got all that cleared up. Shall we talk some soccer now?
Let's do it.
Okay. The Crew started off their season with a 1-0, should have been more, but we'll take it. 1-0 win over Atlanta at home.
3 points at home. Good.
Death Star was rocking. Yep. Fans were great. They got their rings. The TIFO was incredible. I loved that. I thought they did a great job with that. Thoughts on the game? I mean, overall, for me,
it was fine.
First half, you could have had 4.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Russell Rowe had a chance, I think, or two that he probably would have at least should have buried one of those, should have finished one of them. I thought you just had a lot of good chances. Cucho had a couple that were real close, and then he got the, not tapping, but the one that kind of fell to him.
Not
where,
a tapping by any means, but Guzan, he's putting that in 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, right. And Guzan is right there, you know, making the first save and then has to go all the way across, and he's just not at this age, he's not doing that. Yeah. So. But yeah, good finish by Kucha there to get the goal. I thought in general, I mean, you know, a little bummed to see it for Mo Farsi getting hurt. That's not great. And he got, you know, like tackled in the box and got the penalty that then Kucha unfortunately could not convert, which that was shocking to me.
Yeah.
Do you take that away from him now? I mean, usually the rule is on teams.
No.
If you miss your penalty, it goes to someone else for a while till they miss. I don't take it away from him. He's the best goal scorer in the league for my money.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm not taking that away from him at all. I mean, things happen, you know.
Yeah.
He put one in earlier, so no, I'm not taking that away. But like, it's a good performance. You know, 3 points at home.
Yeah.
Pitched a shutout. It's game number one. I don't think, you know, win, loss, or draw, I don't think we were going to overreact either way to this. Now you get an opportunity this weekend to head up to Minnesota and see what you can do on the road in this early portion of the season.
And so, I don't know what the temperature's like. I haven't looked, but.
I think it's supposed to be okay here. I'm not exactly sure what it is up there.
I'm saying we've got the Arctic blast that just came through the last couple days after, like we talked about, we had snow on Friday night, last Friday night. We got up to the 60s and then had a thunderstorm and tornado roll through.
Yeah.
And then last...
No wonder my ceiling collapsed.
Wednesday night, it was like back in the 20s.
Yeah.
So it's like we went from Saturday to Thursday, we had blizzard levels of snow.
We had it all.
Blizzard levels of snow, and then all that, just ridiculous.
Saturday, high of 54 up in Minneapolis.
Okay,
so actually warmer than what it was in Columbus last week.
Right. So if it's not too windy, I mean, then that should be a pretty good environment for you to go out and play your game and do what you want. So yeah, this is like we've talked about. Crew just need to start off the season. I'll get worried about any type of trends or anything when I find out about like a month into the season.
Yeah.
How are we trending here? You'll have some interesting tests coming up. We found out that the Crew are going to play Houston in the Champions Cup, the, you know, CONCACAF Champions League. Yeah, I believe that's next Wednesday.
Next week or 2 weeks, yeah.
I think the first leg is in Houston. Second leg is here.
Yep.
Because it is a double-legged feature. And that's in the round of 16. So if you win that game, or if you win that series at home and home, then you are going – if you can do it, and Houston's not an easy out. I mean, they're one of the best teams in MLS last year. There's a reason they won the Open Cup. They kind of know how to play in these knockout tournaments. So that's going to be a tall order, and Houston on the road is always challenging. At least it's not August.
Yes.
So it won't be quite as warm, but it still just always is a weird place to play for the Crew. So, but this is where you're going to manage a road trip in Minnesota, then on the road to Houston.
And then back.
Back Saturday, I feel like next Saturday, I forget who the
Chicago,
Chicago,
Houston, and then Red Bulls at home. So 2 on the road and then 3 at home. Once we get through
the Houston games are both midweek.
Once we get through that Red Bulls game in the middle of March, I think then we'll have trends and we'll have five or six games under the belt. Yeah, I think then we can start kind of being like, okay. But yeah, it's huge for, you know, the Houston
main goal for me. Yeah. Main goal for me the first month of this season is, you know, advance in the Champions Cup and then go up against the Mexican side, presumably who you'd be going up against next, and show what you can do and see how that goes. But that's, you know, you got to get through this Houston series first, and you got to win that. No excuses there. Won't take anything for that. But yeah, this Minnesota game, Minnesota's weird. I was looking at the scores. I didn't watch their game. I'll tell you, I didn't watch a lot of MLS this week, but I'm trying to make more of an effort to watch all of these games each week. Minnesota start off their season on the road, beating Austin 2-1.
How about that?
Love that. Love that a lot. That feels really good.
Were they feeling blue? Were they feeling azul after that? Or were they feeling verde?
Azul or verde. That's the scale for Austin. You feel blue or do you
feel green?
Yeah, I don't know. That's either way. They lost, and it's good to see Austin with a loss. We didn't talk about this much. Austin not on the schedule again this year. Like, just, all right, whatever.
It's never going to happen.
Why? Again, I just want to know, listen, I'm not even saying I really want this. I don't want it as a rivalry. I don't care. They are irrelevant to us in many, many ways.
Yes.
However, if the Crew are like, we don't want any part of that, they don't deserve it, we don't want to do anything with it, then I will tell you, it does matter to me who doesn't want this game. Because if the Crew are like, we're not giving them the satisfaction, then I'm with it.
Yeah.
100% with that. If it's Austin and it's Anthony Precourt saying, please don't make me go back there, then
he's not showing up to this.
Oh, I know
anyways.
He's not, but don't make the team go back. I don't want to have that. Like, why? It's amazing to me that MLS has not had them on the schedule. And I know there's a rotation and you play like a billion teams now and you have home and aways with your conference teams, right? You don't play as many teams from the other conference, but feels like we play Houston every year. Feels like there's always a trip to Houston somewhere baked into every
play
year.
Play Seattle every year.
Yeah,
feels like Portland every year.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that. But at some point, the Crew will play Austin. I don't believe they play him this year.
Minnesota's coach, former Eric Ten Hag assistant, I believe.
They what's the guy's name? Why did I just – oh, I just saw that. The hell is that guy's name?
That's a great question.
Oh, it's Eric Ramsey.
Yeah.
You know why? I remember this because when I saw it, I texted a buddy of mine because we went to high school with someone named Eric Ramsey who played soccer.
Okay.
His dad was the soccer coach at my little school I went to. Phil Ramsey was his dad. And so, yeah, I saw Eric Ramsey and I was like, oh, hey, Eric Ramsey's coaching a team in MLS. And he just laughed and was like, they're not spelled the same way. So it's not, I knew it wasn't, but I saw that and instantly thought, hey, someone I used to play soccer with is coaching MLS. Not really.
Yeah.
So that's why. That's the only reason I remembered that was because of that name.
He's not even the coach yet. So.
Oh, they haven't officially done it.
I don't think so.
So Austin got run at home by a team without a coach?
It was 2 days ago. So
after the game.
At the time.
No, they got run by a team that didn't even have a coach. I know they had Minnesota, because they didn't make the playoffs, I don't believe. So they had all the offseason to make a decision on a coach. I want to say they hired not one, but two interim coaches because their interim guy they named at the end of the season, I think ended up taking a job somewhere else. And so they had to name a second interim guy until they could get the deal done for apparently Eric Ramsey. So, yeah, Minnesota, didn't think we were going to get into a lot of loons conversation today, but here we are. Let them live. They got the job done against Austin. So
he was appointed Manchester United by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, where he was the set piece coach.
Oh,
stayed there under Ralph Rangnick and then Erik ten Hag. He also joined the Wales national team as assistant coach last March. Erik ten Hag said Eric Ramsey's arguably one of the best coaches in football at this moment in time.
Okay.
Well,
even just like Minnesota knowing that he was coming, they were like, we're ready. We're going to go beat Austin.
Yeah.
Just the sheer thought of him being there was good. I'll give this to Montreal. So Laurent Courtois, former Crew 2 coach, now the head man there at Montreal, they go on the road and 0-0 draw with Orlando City.
Yep.
I'm not saying that that's the way they're going to play all the time. I don't think when you watch Crew 2, I don't know Montreal's roster very well.
It's the way that Orlando plays, though, a lot.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I'm kind of interested to see that be a 0-0 scoreline at home. Perhaps everybody's just shaking off. It's hard to read one game in MLS, right? First week is always kind of challenging to get a read on that. But going on the road, getting a point for Montreal at Orlando City, that will look a lot better later in the year because I presume Orlando City should be good yet again. So, yeah, there's that. Philly draws 2-2 at home with Chicago. That's surprising. I didn't think Chicago is, you know, they haven't been good for a while. So to go on the road to one of the tougher places to play and get a point and to score two goals on them, like, that's shocking to me. Also, not great for the start for Caleb Porter in New England. They get down 3-1 by DC United in DC. Again, you know what? I should double check all this because I'm looking at this on Google. They have DC listed as where the home team would be. So I presume this was in. I should double check all this. But yeah, it is. They are. Okay. Because sometimes Google's the one that doesn't.
Google.
They're like, we're doing it the way America does it. And it's like, no, that's not right. So, all right. So DC won at home. That was at Audi Field, 3-1 over New England. All what I said so far has been correct. So New England had a red card in this game. They lose 3-1. That's not a great start for the Caleb Porter era.
No.
The goals will come is the quote that he had last week we talked about. Well, you better hope so if you're giving up three to DC United, because that is going to be a long year if that's the way it's going to go in New England. That's not great.
How about Leo going out to L.A. and only getting a clipping a point off the Galaxy?
I know. Well, hey, they got three at home and one on the road, I think, is what they've done so far. So
that's the roadmap.
They've played two games, and they have 4 points.
Yep.
So, hey, I'm very much questioning what happens when they play real teams for real stakes, you know?
In the middle of the summer.
Well, right. I mean, can they do it on a cold Tuesday night in Stoke? We've got, can you do it on a hot Saturday night in Houston?
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
And again, I mean, Lionel Messi played in Argentina. Like, he's played all over the world. He played in Spain. It's not like those games are brisk and cool
in
Spain.
He's played in the World Cup and,
He's played in Qatar. I mean, he's played everywhere. Yeah. Like, I know you can win anywhere with your Lionel Messi. What I'm saying is, I don't know how the rest of his old ass and busted team is going to do, right? And like, Julian Gressel's a great MLS player. He's going to whip in a ton of balls.
Yeah.
Defensively, what's your shape going to be if you've got like some of the guys that they bring, like Luis Suarez not playing defense.
No.
Messi's not tracking back on defense.
Messi's not running for 90% of the game.
Gressel's going to track back, but he's not great on defense out there on the wing. So if those are three of your guys out there that just are defensive liabilities, and I'm not as familiar with the rest of their roster, I will admit. So unless they've just got all like world beater guys back there that are just lights out, I don't know. Maybe you've got a bunch of Chiellinis back there that are just genius position guys.
DeAndre Yedlin back there, right?
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yedlin, I think I don't know if he's the captain, but he's like, I saw him giving like a pep talk before
the
game.
I did too,
and
I saw someone on social media be like, can you imagine giving a pep talk to Sergio Busquets and Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez, and you're the guy firing up? I'm like, yeah, because it's a weird league. And
yeah.
DeAndre Yedlin has played here, and he's more familiar with any of these guys. I'm like, yes, I can imagine that, actually.
I will tell you, that is a mentality that annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah.
With like, because you have that a lot of times with American players where it's like, wow, I'm on the field with Lionel Messi, like the U.S. national teamers. And people will ask them that question all the time. And I know they ask every player that, right? Like, what's it like to play with Lionel Messi?
Yeah.
But at some point, these guys have to not be the kids playing video games, and they are the guys who are professional soccer players who play with guys. DeAndre Yedlin has been on the field with lots of talented guys.
Yes.
Maybe, and probably has been on the field against Lionel Messi before in other capacities.
Sure, yes.
I'm just saying, yeah, you get over that when you're a pro soccer player. You look at Lionel Messi and go, if he's on your team, you're like, I'm going to win with this guy.
Yeah.
If he's not on your team, you're like, I'm going to go out and wreck this guy's day. Like, I want to show everyone that I can beat this
dude. I'm
going
to make you use those 15 insurance claims on your Achilles, pal.
By the way, FC Cincinnati off to a rousing start at home with a 0-0 draw against vaunted Toronto. Those two teams right there.
DFL and Toronto last year, right? Weren't they dead last in the East?
Yeah, wooden spoon. I'm telling you, that's some wooden spooners right there.
Yeah.
That was a battle of your present and former wooden spoon
and that's
teams right
the
there.
Kind of performance that you should have got.
That's who you are, FC Cincinnati. Last year may have just been a blip. I hope it was.
Did we break them? Who knows?
Oh, that'd be
Stay
great.
Stay tuned.
A couple other around the league scores that just caught my eye. Nashville and the Red Bulls. Red Bulls go to Nashville, hold them scoreless, 0-0. But again, it's like, I never know how to read anything. Is it like, do players in Nashville consider it to be cold when it's like in the 40s?
Yes,
like, I don't know.
They have an identity crisis.
I don't know what Nashville is right now.
Maybe I'm just saying as a city. Like,
they
you
do.
Have, you,
You're right.
Like, they have
they
an,
do.
You have an identity crisis.
They think they're in the South, but their weather's more close to ours.
It's not
at times.
That different. It's a little bit warmer.
It's a little warmer.
You want to be like this gigantic metropolis.
Yes.
You're building your city, but you're building it so fast. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like, Yeah, right. I can't get a read on Nashville at all because there are people who treat it like it's the new, like, Austin or the new whatever. Like, it's the hot new, like, metro area. And it's like, it's an economy based entirely on bridal showers. Can we admit, that?
Bachelorette parties.
Like, bachelorette parties, bridal showers, bachelor parties. Like, that's what its economy is. But
there's
fine.
Great
music. It's
great,
great
watched
town.
Iron and Wine down at the Ryman, which was, like, one of the best nights we've ever
had. Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, it was
You
great.
Saw Iron and Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, like, that was...
It's a dream of mine to go watch a band at the Ryman. I've been by it a million times. We used to go to Nashville all the time. I love that. That building is historic. It's the Grand Ole Opry, for those who don't know, before... Now the Grand Ole Opry's out at Opryland, like,
that's
way out.
Their own thing.
Yeah, it's way out there, but... The original house for Grand Ole Opry was the Ryman Auditorium.
And
that's,
what, a 500 seat, 1,000?
Yeah,
mean, it's
tiny.
It's not many.
It looks like an old church. Yeah, like, walking by it, it looks like a church.
You,
like,
sit in church pews.
Yes, right. It has a very much, I would love to see a band like the Iron and Wine's a good band to go see.
We have
too.
An awesome, sometimes we'll get merch when we go to concerts, but not a lot. Like, when we went to the Death Cab show, like, because it was Meredith's birthday and we went on a trip, like, we got the poster. And we put that up on our house, and then we got the Iron and Wine one, and we, got that framed. So I think the two posters for musical events we have is the Death Cab one and the Iron and Wine. I'll tweet out a picture.
You should.
Of the show when I get home.
That's great. And hopefully not with your ceiling caved in.
Other room.
On it. Yeah. Oh, other room. Good. Not in the same room.
Yeah, I would have taken that down too. I would have protected that one.
I totally understand that. And finally, Portland beat Colorado 4-1. That would be. I didn't see if he played. I mean, I presume he got signed there. Zach Steffen is your starter.
Yep.
I hope he didn't give up 4 goals. That would not be great. I don't know. I don't know what to make of Zach's tenure, if that's the case.
Zach graded out with a 4.8
player
rating for the day.
Yeah. Out of 10. Just to be clear, for those who don't know how player ratings works.
It's usually like I'm on FotMob, which does a really nice job. If you like soccer and you want to keep up to date on, like, scores, like, you can see all, like, the maps, and, like, usually a green number is pretty good, and, like, the orange one is okay. Like, that's what most players are at. So everyone on Colorado and then Portland was either green or orange. Zach was a big red.
I did not watch these highlights, and now I don't know if I want to. I don't want to see that for him. I don't know what happened.
Expected goals faced 1.4, allowed 4.
I mean, again, expected goals, weird stat.
Yeah.
Not saying it's the best. Yikes. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some European soccer coming to America, and specifically Columbus. And we will also get into what's going on with the U.S. Open Cup and Taylor Swift and a whole bunch more. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. As always, you can tweet the show at Man. Oh, nope.
Yeah, keep it in.
At Bone Beam United. At Man and Bone 971 is the other show I'm on, which I'm sure you may have heard of. I don't know. But anyway, at Bone Beam United. Tweet us. Let us know. Beamer's going to tweet out a picture of his pictures on his wall from concerts he's been to.
Yep.
And or maybe his ceiling plaster. I don't know.
Maybe all three.
Maybe all the above. Let's talk about the games that are coming to Columbus. So the first one that I am super excited about, and this past summer I adopted Aston Villa as my soccer team in the Premier League. I have been welcomed by the Villains of Columbus, the supporters group here, Connor McBride and his group. They do a great job. They like to have people out. It's a fun time. I know they do the Olentangy Brewing is one of the places they've gone to. I've also seen them at Fado at Easton. Just a good group, man. So I'm really happy for them when I saw that Aston Villa is the team that the Crew are going to play, because there is a layoff for the Crew in Leagues Cup. When you're the champions, you don't play right away in this goofy tournament that MLS created between all the teams in MLS and all the teams in Liga MX. So now the Crew have like a couple week layoff during that.
Good.
So to kind of keep the team fresh and give them a game so they don't have to just jump into a competition where all these other teams have been fresh and keep playing, they schedule this friendly with Aston Villa, which is, I love it when that happens, because to me, I don't care if the Crew can beat Aston Villa. No. I don't care what neither team is going to play this like they would play it if they were playing in their seasons.
Yeah.
You're going to have bench players for both teams. You're not going to have the same level of intensity for all the players and tactically, all that stuff, all the time. It's going to be it's an exhibition.
It's a friendly, yes.
Yeah. But I am excited to see a team with that pedigree, that legendary status,
of course,
coming to Columbus to play. And it's, to me, that's so much better than doing the thing that the MLS All-Star game has done for years, where it's like, would you like to see us play a big team in preseason? It's like, you're taking the All-Stars of MLS to go play Chelsea?
Yeah.
That makes you look less.
Yeah.
But when it's Aston Villa and the Crew playing, it's like, yeah.
That's about right.
It's just nice to see teams. I know their salaries are way different, yeah, all that stuff. I know that if you played Aston Villa at full strength and the Crew at full strength, probably wouldn't go great for my guys in the Crew, but what a great thing for us to get to watch that, have it in Columbus. And again, I'm glad it's not like, oh, sorry, we only go to Cincinnati or Cleveland, yeah, or we're only going to do these games at these, you know. Good that it's coming to Columbus.
Yeah, I think it's great, man. It's a 20,000-seat arena over there, and I'm going to go. You're going to go.
Yeah, I want to go to that. I'd love to.
Are you going
to
get the Laura Quinn split jersey?
No. As much as I'm happy for Aston Villa and I'm happy to root for them in the Premier League.
They're your guys. And they were the official curse of the Bone Breaker.
Well, so far, yeah.
It's impossible for them now to be dropped.
Never say never.
I don't think Everton is catching them.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I think you're right. But you're right. That's the first one that I've rooted for that has not gotten relegated, or doesn't appear that they're going to be relegated. So
they have 52 points. Luton would need to make up 32 points in 13.
Has a team ever been relegated with 50 points? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Sheffield and Burnley would have to both get 40 points.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah,
Aston Villa would have to. Well, they can't even do it. Mathematically,
we're good.
You're safe.
I know. But either way, yes. So I am excited for that to happen. That is in June, if I'm not mistaken, like June 27th.
Right. Yeah, late June.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. That's one, too, where I don't know if I'll take the kids or not, only because, like, they don't have an they will appreciate watching a regular MLS game. We could go watch, you know, any of these. We could go watch a Liga MX game. We could go watch whatever, like, when they come to town. Mm-hmm. This is one that I know, like, for, and again, there, if in Leagues Cup, there will be teams that come from Liga MX that a lot of people want to go see, right? Like Club America last year.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't take the kids to that either, because they wouldn't appreciate, like, what they're getting to see. Just because my kids are not, like, huge English soccer fans. If they watch soccer, they watch the Crew.
Yep.
Or we watch, like, the national teams. That's pretty much what we're watching. So, with my kids. So, probably won't take them, but I will definitely go because I think it's just cool. My buddy Jason's a season ticket holder. He's already reached out and said, hey, if you need a ticket, I got you. So, I got to figure that out. But, yeah, hoping to go and watch it and have a good time.
So, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you already know that. I mean, City and Chelsea are coming to the Horseshoe. So we got that news too. And
is that
then,
in July?
I don't think we have a date on that. I think it's August, like right in the lead up to the beginning of their season.
Well, that would be cool.
What I have,
if it's later in the preseason, which I know because of Euros, it's almost going to have to be.
Yeah.
That's actually good because you probably will get to see some players who it's like, all right, well, I do need
full
to get
squad.
I need to get 20 minutes. Yeah. You know, I need to get so. I mean, that's, you're talking, if it's Manchester City, if any of their first teamers play, you are seeing some of the best players in the world.
Treble winners.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, in the past, yes.
Well, yeah. This year, who knows?
Who knows what they're going to do this year, but I'm just saying.
Could also
right.
be treble. Like,
yeah, they could be.
Could be sextuple winners and back to back.
They could win the Champions League. Like,
win the Premier League. Could win the FA Cup.
Yes, like the team that's coming in here could presumably, you're talking about Manchester City, and again, I know I'm saying this to a Manchester United fan.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that one that would you go see it just because it's at the Shoe? Like, would you be interested to watch and just go root against them?
No, because I wouldn't really root for Chelsea either, but I am also a fan of good soccer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, being able to, like, see those players and, like, see Manchester City. Like, I'm never going to go to another Manchester City game in my life. Like,
if you're in England, you're not going to that.
No,
unless you see it at Old Trafford.
Yeah, or, like, it's a random game that you go to. But, no, I'm not going to do that.
You're not seeking it out.
I'm not going to go to, like, the Etihad and just be like, oh, this is really cool. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. There were plenty of other things to do and games to go to if I'm up there. Or just, like, going to a League Two game. I'd rather do that than go to like a City or Liverpool game. But no, I think that's pretty neat. And then you mentioned MLS All-Star game against Liga MX. Like, that one doesn't really, that
That's, and of course, we're hosting that this year. Columbus is hosting that.
Yeah, that's what we're going to get. But I would say in my power rankings of like appetite would be Crew and Villa would be number one on my list.
Yep, yep.
I would say that City and Chelsea would be two, and then I would say the MLS All-Star game is going to be number three.
What now, if I tell you in the MLS All-Star game, like, you're guaranteed Messi's playing 60 minutes?
I don't know.
Like, does that, because that would be, so technically that's your first chance to see Messi playing in Columbus if you want. Like, that's the draw, right? If it comes 2 weeks before that game that Messi is injured, there will still, the tickets will still be expensive.
Yeah.
They will not be nearly as pricey. They will be like, if he's like not going to play in the All-Star game, not going to be a part of any of that, it would be a lot cheaper to get into that game. And you'd still see, I mean, a ton of great players.
Right.
You will see amazing players in MLS. You have, the league has improved significantly. The guys that are in this league now, beyond Lionel Messi, you have actual, you have studs. Like, you have guys who are legitimate Europe players that have decided to come here because they either like the quality of life or the opportunity they're getting here a little better, because they probably might start on a good team here versus maybe sitting the bench for a middling team in, say, the Premier League or like a championship level team or something.
I'd rather see him play against the Crew.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
I'd much rather, if he even plays in that. I know we're so far
October,
away from
right,
that.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one, it's like I'll watch Messi in the All-Star game in Columbus in the middle of the summer, or watch him with Miami against the Crew. Like, I'm going to pick him playing against the Crew because they have the opportunity to go out there and beat them. Like, I wouldn't be cheering for anyone in the MLS All-Star game, like Liga MX. I'm like, I don't care if MLS wins this game.
I'm just going to see. I wonder if those tickets are even on sale.
Yeah. Has it officially been announced? Like, I know that it was being reported.
No, it's announced. I'm pretty sure.
So.
Oh, as far as the opponent.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that's been officially announced. I know that's what the report is.
Right.
I just want to see if I can get tickets to it.
But I would go Crew Villa, I would go City Chelsea, and then I'd go MLS All-Star game. And I went and saw PSG and Real Madrid back in 2012 when I was at the Horseshoe. It was pretty good. It was unique having the soccer field there and, like, a bunch of people around. I'm like, but I was sitting way up in the nosebleeds. I'm like, this is, I don't know, I can't really see what's going on. And I just think that the venue is so much better at Lower.com Field.
Like, 100%.
Over LDC. So for the same price, if not cheaper, to go see the Crew against Villa, you're paying more and having less of a good time seeing City and Chelsea.
Well,
I get the draw.
That's the thing about what I will laugh at. And again, you're not one of these people, Beam. I know you're not. But there are people who are just like, I'm sorry, MLS, I can't watch any of it. It's below my standards. They won't watch Crew games because they're like, I got to see good soccer. Sorry, I can't watch the Crew. And it's like, Crew play better soccer than a lot of the teams you probably do watch over in Europe. But whatever. There will be Euro snobs who are like, I don't go to Crew games, blah, 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 who will then be so thrilled to go to the worst soccer venue in Columbus, which is Ohio Stadium.
Yes.
Like, of the game, of like, people who said, I wouldn't go, I didn't like going out to, historic Crew Stadium because, there's nowhere to go before or after the game. You're going to have to look at that for Ohio Stadium, too. I mean, you got the VC, which is there. Yeah. That's a bar you can get to that's walkable to the stadium. What else? Like, most of the atmosphere around Ohio State football games is tailgating.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, what it'll be here. It'll be in the summer. It'll be a nice time. Tailgating's great. I love tailgating. I'm not against it. Also, not the typical European soccer atmosphere.
Yes.
So for the Europhiles who are like, I want to go to a pub and then walk to the game, blah, blah, blah. It's like, right. That's not happening at this game. You're going to be tailgating, or you're going to be Ubering from somewhere else after going to a soccer bar, which, again, there are plenty of good spots, throughout. On campus, there are bars.
Yes.
That's just in.
Yeah.
But it's still a hike to get over there. It's,
High Street from the stadium is quite
You went to school at Ohio State, you're used to it. You're not ashamed or, like, terrified by that walk. It's not that long. But for someone who says, I want to go to some bars and then go to the game, and you're not used to that. It's a long walk over from High Street.
Oh, of course. It's like a half hour over there.
So I'm just saying but that's fine. It'll be a fun time. I will try to get. Yeah, if I could get tickets to all three of these games, I'd go to all three.
Same.
If at reasonable prices. But if it's like I only could afford one of these, I would be spending my money on Aston Villa Crew.
Same.
That's the one I would be going.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. All right, so there's that. U.S. Open Cup, we have some news from Jeff Carlisle. Here's what he reported. Legendary soccer reporter Jeff Carlisle, ESPN. He said, I'm told U.S. Open Cup format could be released as soon as today. This was he tweeted this out yesterday on Wednesday, if you're listening. So middle of the week. But he said, as of now, top seven Supporters Shield finishers not in CONCACAF Champions Cup will enter their first teams, plus Houston as defending champs for a total of 8 MLS first teams. Still not done, but close. So this means Seattle, LAFC, Houston, Atlanta, RSL, Dallas, Kansas City, and San Jose will be in. Still not much data on how many MLS Next Pro teams will be entered. But he said first teams. So this would technically mean the Columbus Crew, among most of the other MLS teams, not going to enter their first teams in U.S. Open Cup. And then if there is any other MLS involvement, it'll be MLS Next Pro team. So Crew 2 would be playing. Possibly.
Yep.
Just weird. Just a weird
mixture of things. Like some full squad MLS teams, some USL teams, some MLS Next Pro teams.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, again, it's the U.S. Open Cup is supposed to be about everybody has you have a chance.
Here's a groundbreaking idea. Why don't you just say, guys, we're gonna play the U.S. Open Cup. Everybody, you join the tournament. Play whoever you want. They don't need to be on your active roster. All the way down from your academy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You can play academy kids, but it's going to be Real Salt Lake. It's going to be Columbus Crew. It's going to be DC United.
Right.
And if you want it to be DC United 2, basically, that's playing in that game, great. But they're wearing DC United gear.
Exactly.
And again, it's for the U.S. Open purposes only, and you don't have to change your MLS rosters. It's a U.S. Open roster. Come up with, this seems like something that would take a couple hours hammering it out with some lawyers to figure out all the contract details for MLS teams so they can say, technically, you came up to the first team, but you're not getting, like, a contract now. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I know they can't say, well, you're signed to the first team now, and now we're going to – no, just pause all that for that week.
They made it so much more convoluted now to track, like, oh, who's out of the top seven of standings and support. Like, I don't know who's playing in this.
No kidding, man. I mean, at the end of the day, this is – it's disheartening to see because the Open Cup is a cool competition.
Yeah.
And is it taken seriously by MLS teams? No. Should it be? Yes. The reality is, I don't think MLS, this is the path forward. You've got to get back to where next, work this out this season, make this the one-off.
Yeah.
Next year, it's all the U.S. Open Cup, all the MLS teams are playing in U.S. Open Cup, and then they can play literally a 12-year-old they signed off the street if they want to. I don't care. Just say the Crew is playing. And it goes down and the Columbus Crew played.
There you go.
If all the players for the team are players that are academy players, well, then so be it. They played in a U.S. Open Cup game for the Crew, but they played. And then you do it how you want. And then MLS teams, some of them will say, this is our chance to go win a trophy. We're going to take this really seriously.
We can't win MLS Cup. We're not in Champions Cup. We're not going to win.
We're not that talented of a team, but we can win like 8 games and hoist a cup. So we're going to like put our best team out there and give it a shot. Okay, I like that.
Let it be each team's prerogative to decide what they want to do.
Exactly right. I don't get it. The last thing we'll get to here, and this is the Taylor Swift stuff. So if you're a Taylor Swift averse person, just realize
thanks
it's mostly
for listening to the show this week. We'll be back next week.
It's not really about her, but it is a bit. It's about Real Madrid. So they have, as most of these leagues do, right? La Liga has a thing where to keep the games fair, they have decision day. Mm-hmm. Premier League does this. All these leagues, a lot of them try to do it.
Everyone starts the game at the exact same time.
On the final week of the season, everybody plays, like, it's one window for the games. You know, if it's noon, all the games are starting at noon. Yep. They're all starting at 7 p.m. They're starting at 7 p.m., whatever it is. So La Liga, their day is Sunday, the 26th of May.
Yep.
Right? Well, Real Madrid is set to play their game on May 25th. Against Real Betis, because the following week, the Bernabeu, the newly renovated Bernabeu, which looks amazing, they are hosting Taylor Swift. And when are her concert dates?
It's the next weekend.
It's May 29th and May 30th.
Yeah.
So again, 25th.
Like Thursday, Thursday, Friday of that next week?
Probably. So 25th, 26th is Saturday. Sunday, 29th, 30th is when she's in town. So it takes that amount of time to turn the stadium over. And rather than play the game on Sunday, apparently Taylor Swift and the Bernabeu people are saying, we need Sunday, we need the stadium, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to get it ready for, I guess, Thursday, Friday, whenever these concert dates are.
Yeah.
So they are now talking about not just that game, but, you know, Real Madrid is sadly, for those of you who are fans of the story of my Girona.
Yeah.
Girona have fallen down to second. They are 6 points now behind Madrid. Too bad.
As soon as I found out that the Citigroup owns them, I was done with them.
I know. That's right.
A la Madrid.
It that's right. Let's go. I'm all in on Real Madrid. I've made my peace with it. Let's go. I'm a front runner on that. That's fine with me.
Especially when Mbappe joins them. You and I are going to go crazy.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Do I have ESPN Plus? No. Am I going to get it? You
this
betcha.
This podcast will only be in Spanish. But like Spain's version of Spanish. Not even the version I learned, which is Mexico. Kind of more the Latin America version of Spanish. I'll be learning like real Spain Spanish. In either case, so they are Madrid sits 6 points clear of Girona, 8 points ahead of Barcelona. Real Betis, meanwhile, they're currently six in the standings. They're getting into the Europa mm-hmm. Conference League. They're 2 points ahead of Real Sociedad and 7 points behind Athletic Bilbao. So there is still, again, tons of time for this, but at some level, there will be games here that are affected. So what they're saying is, if it gets to a point where Girona and Madrid are within striking distance, or if Barcelona jumps back up into second and say they're 3 points behind, for fairness, they're going to have to play these games at the same time. Mm-hmm. So Real Madrid's game will be on Saturday. That's kind of been set now.
Have to move whoever, like whether it's Girona or whether it's Barcelona for the title fight.
Their game will have to be at the same time.
Or whether it's Real Betis moving into a Champions League spot or a conference spot or a Europa League spot, those are going to have to be played at the same time.
So what we definitely know is Taylor Swift, that's all set. Like Madrid is playing Saturday. That's done. So if Real Madrid can and Real Betis can like get themselves in position where no one can affect them on the final game, no one will have to play that game on Saturday with them. But if any of them do, they aren't moving for Taylor Swift. Like Taylor Swift isn't going to be like, oh, sorry, you're going to have to move your concert back, honey. No, that like they will be moving the soccer games back to accommodate. Like, again, Real Betis and whoever they're playing may have nothing to do. They're not playing anywhere. Had nothing to do with Taylor Swift, but because of Taylor Swift and this concert, they are going to have to move back because
it's like Espanyol and Atletico could have like their game could be moved.
Yes, right.
Or Sevilla and name your random team, like Getafe. That game could randomly just be moved because they're playing for something that Real Betis or Real Madrid could be playing for.
Right. It's crazy. Well, even they have this problem in France, too, because Lyon, Lyon.
L-Y-O-N,
Lyon. Yeah. Lyon. I'm not wrong. I don't know why I'm thinking there's like a different team. Lyon.
Lyle
is who I'm getting.
Lyle is L-I-L-L-E. Lyon is Lyon.
Lyon. That's right. So in either case, their stadium is Groupama Stadium. They have a concert as well where she is playing at their stadium. And that is possibly going to be an issue because when her tour is there, the League One relegation, I'm sorry, Ligue 1. Relegation playoff is possibly going to be, they don't have it scheduled as of now, but Lyon is only 3 points above the playoff place. So if they fall down, their playoff game, which they would be theoretically hosting, she's got a concert plan for that next weekend. So they got to figure that crap out too. So, because again, as soon as the season's over, you know, like as soon as they get off the field for their last game, they are going to start putting in all the stuff for Taylor Swift's concert.
Just remember, kids, there's always a bigger fish out there.
I know, man.
We're talking about multi-billion dollar La Liga. Real Madrid is the most famous team in the entire world. Net worth billion of like 15 billion or whatever it is. Yeah. There is always a bigger fish out there in the ocean.
I don't think anything compares to the Super Bowl in the sense of, because the Super Bowl is just a one-off thing, right? But as in terms of the most popular sport in these countries, their day where they determine possibly who the champion is of the league is in danger of moving because of
one human being.
Right. Imagine if it was like, well, yeah, Taylor Swift's got a concert the week after the Super Bowl, so we're going to play it on Saturday instead of Sunday. Like, people would lose their minds over that. Not because of Taylor Swift, but just
actually,
because.
Actually, we're not going to play it on Saturday because there's not enough time to turn the stadium over. We're going to play it on Wednesday.
Right. No kidding.
Yeah. We're playing on the Wednesday.
It's before. Just that's about the only thing, I guess, that would compare to this is just, sorry, we got to move this around for Taylor Swift. So in either case, let her live, man. She is she's quite the thing. She's done a great job.
I hope we get all sorts of.
I hope it's all the chaos.
Europa League battle.
Yeah, I'm rooting for
like
all the
conference
chaos.
Battle.
Yes,
like Real Madrid drop some points. There's a three-way battle. Barcelona's back in it.
Now
Girona's.
I am with you. I'm rooting for. hilarity. I am rooting for all kinds of chaos
like
here.
Seven games get moved, and then they just move decision day to that Saturday. The whole thing just goes.
Well, that's what they, I mean, they could potentially at least, you're talking at least three teams, possibly four teams affected, four games. That's eight teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you only have, what, 19 or 20 in the league. So at that point, if like three or four games are affected, you might as well just say, you know what, screw it. We're playing all these games on Saturday.
Yeah.
That way it doesn't look so stupid. Just play them on, just say decision day Saturday now. Sorry, change your plans. You got 2 months. Figure it out. If I were La Liga, that's what I would do. I would just say, we're not even waiting around. Because the closer you get,
it'll be a mess.
Just do it now and put the word out months in advance. Everyone will forget that you had to do this and why you had to do it. They'll just say, hey, it's Saturday now. That's it. Done. Over. That's the way I would do it. Cut your losses. All right. That's it for us. We're going to cut our losses on this podcast. Get out of here. Beam, I hope no parts of your house fall on you.
Yep, same.
And, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.